Authority is a part of our lives from the day that we're born. Starting with your parents, your mom and dad, you are always under someone's authority. Mom or dad will tell their child what to do. The child doesn't want to do it, and he whines about it and says, "Why?" And mom or dad will say, "Because I said so." It's all about authority. Now, you get a little bit older, and you finally get to leave mom and dad's authority for just a few hours, and what happens? Then you have teachers telling you what to do. Still under authority. You finally graduate from high school. You're 18 years old. You are a legal adult. And you are like Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Freedom! And that lasts for about 15 minutes. Because then what happens? You have professors and landlords and bosses and the IRS. You see, no matter how far you go, no matter how high you climb, there's always going to be someone telling you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and how much it's going to cost you. We are all under authority. Now, some of us, we have no problems with authority, right? We're completely comfortable following the rules that somebody else sets. Because we all have to, you know, to have society, you have to have an agreed upon set of rules, right? And you know you're this kind of person because you always stop behind the white line, right? You take a walk before bedtime because your Fitbit says you have 236 steps left. You're comfortable with the rules if, well, you never, ever take more than 20 items through the express checkout at Walmart. Although you did almost call 911 one time on the person who had 27 items in the express lane. It's all about authority. Now, others of us here, I'm not pointing fingers or naming names, but some of us have some real problems with authority. And here are some signs. Here's how you know if you have some authority issues. It was obvious early on when you wouldn't wear the clothes your mom picked out and you insisted on dressing yourself. All right? Authority issues right there. That's Terry's baby picture. Right? No. You had a regular chair at the principal's office. In fact, your teacher didn't even need to say a word. She just would give you that look and you knew where to go, buddy. For you, speed limit signs are for lesser drivers. And you've taken the defensive driving course so many times, you're on first name basis with the instructor. You have authority issues when not only have you quit jobs because of your bosses, you've had bosses quit because of you. Now, Peter spends quite a bit of time in 1 Peter 2 and 3 talking about authority. And this question of authority is important for us as Christians because as believers, we are a part of two different worlds. We live here, but we are citizens there. As Peter says several times in this little letter, we are foreigners. We are aliens. We are temporary residents in this world. And as Christians, that means that our ultimate authority is there. And as followers of Christ, whose ultimate authority is God and His Word, how are we supposed to relate to those in authority here? And so, in 1 Peter 2 and 3, Peter talks about how we as Christians respond to the authority of government. He talks about authority at work. He talks about authority in the home. Later on in 1 Peter 5, he talks about even human authority in the church. Now, what we want to focus on this morning is that first part. How do we relate to? How do we respond to those that are governing authorities? And this goes from City Hall to the county government to the local sheriff's department up to the State House in Jefferson City all the way to D.C. So 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 13. Submit yourselves, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. So the first thing he tells us right out of the gate here is to submit to human authorities. And so I want to talk about this submission thing straight away. Because submit's not a very popular word today. Submission is not a very popular idea. In fact, nobody writes songs encouraging you to submit to authority. Nobody stages marches in D.C. calling for people to better submit to those in authority. But the word that Peter uses here, it's a military term that has to do with the chain of command. And it means to line up under, to place yourself under. And what Peter's saying here is that as Christians, we are all soldiers under command, and so we need to place ourselves under those in authority over us. A military unit works better when every soldier, when every sailor, when every airman follows the chain of command, obeys their orders, and performs their duties just as they have drilled to do repeatedly. If you have an army that doesn't follow the chain of command, where every order is questioned, where every soldier does what he wants, regardless of what their orders are, you have an army that's going to get defeated. That's what you have. You don't have to like your lieutenant. You don't have to agree with the general. But you do have to do what they say. And notice here which human authorities Peter says we should submit to. Which ones? Every human authority. Now, I did a real thorough Greek word study this week to find out, you know, the subtle nuances of this word. And the word that's translated every here, do you know what it means? Every. Yeah, in my Greek dictionary gives this definition. All, any, total, whole, every kind of. Don't you just hate it when the Bible does that? There's no loophole. There's no escape hatch. He just says every human authority. He doesn't say submit to the good authorities. He doesn't say only those authorities you agree with, those whose policies you support, only the Democrats or only the Republicans. He says every human authority. That means even the bad ones. Let me remind you of something we talked about the very first week in this series. The little letter of 1 Peter was written around A.D. 64. It was written to Christians who live in the city of Rome. They are in the capital of the empire. And do you remember who was emperor at this time? A guy by the name of Nero. He's a real piece of work. He was certifiable. He was the first emperor to officially persecute the church as a matter of government policy. And this guy was a first-rate, twisted sicko. He tortured Christians just for kicks and giggles. If there was ever a human authority that should not be submitted to, you would think it would be this guy Nero. But what does Peter say? Submit to every human authority. Now, this brings up the question that is there ever a time as Christians that we shouldn't submit, that we shouldn't obey human authorities? And we don't have time to get into this subject completely. But is there a time for civil disobedience? And I'll give you just a quick thumbnail sketch, and I'll give it to you from Peter himself. In the book of Acts, the apostles were brought in before the local authorities, the Jewish ruling council called the Sanhedrin. And they gave the disciples this command: do not preach any longer in the name of Jesus. So do you know what the apostles did? They proceeded to go right on out and preach and teach in the name of Jesus. And so they were arrested. They were brought back in before the Jewish ruling council. Now, they weren't rude in how they did this. They weren't obnoxious. But they did boldly present their case before the ruling council. And Peter, speaking for all of the apostles, here's what he said: we must obey God rather than men. And the principle is this: that when the law of human authorities directly contradicts the law of God, when it requires you to disobey God, then we must obey God rather than men. But outside of that principle, our call is to do exactly as what Peter says here: submit to human authorities. Even if you don't like it, even if you don't think it's fair, even if, submit. And then Peter goes on to tell us why we should submit. And we submit because of our ultimate authority. We don't submit because we have to. We don't submit because Nero or anybody else in authority deserves it. We don't submit simply because of the fear of getting in trouble. That's not why we submit. Why we submit, it's right here in verse 13. For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. You see, what Peter's saying here is that we are people under authority. There is always a greater authority, a higher authority. Chuck Swindoll tells the story of two California highway patrolmen. And they were out doing speed enforcement not too far away from the Marine Corps Air Base near Miramar, California. And they had their radar gun pointed at the crest of a hill so they could capture the cars just as they come over the hill, okay? And so there's the gun. It's aimed at the hill. And about this time, it gives a reading of 500 miles per hour. And the officer thought there's something wrong with the gun, you know? Got to reset it, and it wouldn't reset. It was frozen, and then the whole thing shuts down and would not restart. And right about that time, two F-18 Hornets go screaming by just over the treetops. Back at HQ, the patrol captain was upset, fired off an angry letter to the base commander because they had dared violate their authority. The base commander fires back a letter in true USMC style, basically reminding the police commander that there is a higher authority. Dear sir, thank you for your letter. We can now complete the file on this incident. You may be interested to know that the tactical computer in the F-18 had detected the presence of and subsequently locked onto your hostile radar equipment and automatically sent a jamming signal back to it, which is why it shut down. Furthermore, an air-to-ground missile aboard the aircraft had also automatically locked onto your hostile location. Fortunately, the Marine pilot flying the Hornet recognized the situation for what it was, quickly responded to the missile system alert, and was able to override the automated defense system before the missile was launched to destroy the hostile position. Our pilot also suggests you cover your mouth while cussing at them. The video systems in these jets are very high resolution. Sergeant Johnson, the officer holding the radar gun, should get to his dentist and check his left rear molar. It appears his filling is loose. Also, the snap is broken on his handgun holster. Thank you for your concern, Semper Fidelis. There's always a higher authority. And City Hall's not the highest authority. Jefferson City's not the final authority. Washington, D.C. is not the highest authority. Even the Supreme Court is the not quite Supreme Court. We submit because of who sits on the throne of the universe. And one day, everyone, including every Nero, every Hitler, every Saddam Hussein, every Kim Jong-un, every Donald Trump, every Nancy Pelosi, every city clerk, every state trooper, and every one of us, we'll have to answer to that ultimate authority. And that is why we submit. We submit not because those in human authority are worthy. We submit because Jesus is worthy. We submit because He deserves it. That's why. Now, after calling us to submit to those in governing authority, Peter then gives us the purpose of human government. In verse 13, he says they are sent by God, quote, to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. If you want a biblical statement of the purpose of government, here it is. It's that simple. Their God-given purpose is to establish and maintain order on earth based on the principle of justice. To punish those who do wrong, to commend or praise those who do right. That's their job. Now, God is a God of justice, and He's also a God of grace. And God has placed two different agencies on earth to reflect those two different aspects of His character. The first of those agencies He's placed on earth is government. And government has been placed here to establish order based on the principle of justice. And their primary mechanism for achieving that is the use of force. Paul writes in Romans 13 that the government bears the sword for a reason. And that is to punish those who do wrong. The other agency God has placed here on earth to reflect the other aspect of His character is the church. And the church has been placed here for the primary purpose of salvation based on the principle of God's grace. And the primary mechanism for achieving that is the love of Jesus. Now, things on earth operate best when both the government and the church remember and do their God-given roles. Because we like to get these things mixed up. We like to get them backwards. And when the government doesn't do what she's supposed to do, when the government doesn't punish those who do wrong, when it doesn't commend those who do right, social order begins to break down. And it makes a mess of things. But I'll also say this, it doesn't make near as big of a mess as it does when the church forgets her place and her purpose. As a church, we need to remember this, that we need to always be about salvation. We need to be about the good news of Jesus, what we talked about last week. We always need to be about the grace of God, and we need to be about the powerful love of Jesus. That's why we're here. Now, if that's the place of the church, then what is the place, the role of individual Christians while we live here on earth under human authority? Well, Paul gives us several things, starting in verse 15. And the first thing is this: do good. Do good. Look at verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. We are to live our lives in such a way that it doesn't open us up. It doesn't make us vulnerable to accusation. We need to realize that as long as we live here, we are behind enemy lines. And here's what that means. That means that there is an enemy constantly about who wants nothing more than to make you fail. He wants you as a follower of Christ to fall flat on your face, to embarrass yourself, embarrass the church, to embarrass your Savior. As we're living behind enemy lines. But when we devote ourselves to doing good, then the enemy can't find a clear shot. I love the story of Daniel. Daniel was a young man who was plucked from his home city and his home country in Jerusalem. And he was taken to Babylon, far away, an ungodly nation. And he was forced into the service of the king. And Daniel was so good at serving the king. He did such a good job that he quickly rose through the ranks until he reached a rather prominent position in serving the king. And the other people who served the king were very jealous of Daniel. They hated Daniel. They hated what he represented. And so these guys began to look for any reason to attack Daniel. They began looking for any excuse to try to take him out. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, it says this: the administrators and the satraps, that is the provincial governors, tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. By doing good, he silenced the ignorant talk of foolish people. Jesus doesn't want anything getting in the way of your witness. When people look at your life, he wants them to see good news. We talked about this last week. But how will people ever see good news in your life if what they see is disobedience, rebellion, somebody who's constantly contentious and stubborn and making a scene? And so we are called to do good. Secondly, Peter tells us, be free. Be free with limits. All right? Be free, but with boundaries. Verse 16 says, live as free people. But don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. You know, as Christians, we have an amazing, incredible freedom. And I think the church should never be a stifling, stuffy, snobby place, because we have this incredible freedom in Christ. We have been freed from our sins. We have been freed from these mountains of obligations of trying to earn our own salvation by following an endless list of do's and don'ts. But Peter says we shouldn't use that freedom as a license to do wrong. And I think even as Americans, we could add to that the freedom that we have, the liberty that we have as citizens of this country. But that freedom is not a license to do evil either, because we are always under God's authority. Thirdly, in verse 17, Peter says we are to show respect. And we are to show respect to whom? Everyone. There's another one of those pesky every commands. I got to respect everyone. Yeah. Respect is the idea of showing honor. Respect a person's office. Respect a person's position. Respect the fact that God put them in that position. And respect the person. Well, how do I respect them if I don't respect what they do? How can I respect somebody who let's be honest, is completely unrespectable with their actions? Well, here's how. Respect the fact that every individual is created in the image of God. Respect the fact that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, and Jesus wants to have a relationship with them. And you may be the closest connection they have to Jesus and that salvation at that moment. That's what should drive our respect. You will never meet a person that God does not love and that Jesus did not die for. Think about that. Now, use this as a mirror. Do you respect and honor those in office, even those you didn't vote for? That's almost unheard of these days, isn't it? How about the people you work with? Do you respect your boss? Do you respect your coworkers? How about those you live with? Husbands, do you respect your wives? Wives, do you respect your husbands? Children, do you show proper respect to your parents? Parents, do we show due respect for our children? What about our social media? If we could put your Facebook page up here, we could scroll through your Twitter feed. Would we see posts filled with respect and honor, or would we see vitriol and rage? Or maybe just recipes and cute kittens? I'm not sure. But what the world needs to see in us, not a bunch of obnoxious Christians, but they need to see the love of Christ. And so we show respect. Now, those of you that are following along in your outlines and you're taking notes, I'm skipping over these next three things. So don't freak out because you have three blanks. It's just I cut it out for the sake of time. Fourthly, we're to love each other. It literally says love the brothers. Love the family of God. Love each other in the church is the idea here. I don't think this needs explanation, but it certainly needs urging. But think about it this way. How will the world ever see the love of Jesus in us if we can't even love each other with the love of Jesus? That's Peter's point here. Fifth, we are to fear God. We talked about this just a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on it here. But I'll remind you with this. There are two kinds of fear in the world. There is a fear of God, and there is a fear of everything or anything else. Pick one. Now, when it says fear God, this is not that shrinking in terror of God. No, this is a respect and a reverence for God. It's having a proper sense of awe and wonder for who He is. But fear God more than you fear who's in power, more than you fear who gets appointed to the Supreme Court, more than you fear the party in power, more than you fear which laws are passed. Fear God. Finally, Peter says, honor the emperor, even an emperor like Nero. You know, and these must have been very difficult words for Peter's readers to read. And remember, they're living in Rome where Nero is. and honoring the emperor. This goes beyond just submitting to him. It's one thing to obey what the emperor says, but now you want me to honor him too? Yeah. That's what he says. Show respect, honor. If deference is to be paid, then show deference. If it is proper to bow, then bow. If you are to stand, stand. If you are to salute, then salute. Show whatever esteem is called for. If you're invited to the White House, then you go to the White House and you behave with dignity and you show proper respect and honor, because you can cross out the emperor here. And you can put the president, or the mayor, or the senator, or the police officer who pulls you over. Honor them. Honor them. Now, honoring the president or any other human authority doesn't mean that you agree with everything they say and do. It doesn't mean that you condone it or that you commend it. It also does not mean that we cannot speak up for truth and righteousness. It also does not mean that we cannot work within legal and respectful bounds to change unjust laws or to correct misguided policies. It also does not mean, as I mentioned before, that when those in authority want us to disobey God, that we can't obey God rather than men. We always obey God. But in everything else, we submit to human authority and we do it humbly, respectfully, and honorably. Citizens of there must be the best citizens here. There is no human authority that can thwart the kingdom of God advancing within all nations. There is no government or system on earth that can prevail against a humble and contrite heart that trusts the sovereign power and loving wisdom of Jesus. There is no darkness that the light of God's word cannot permeate and make as bright as the noonday sun. And so we submit to the authority here because we serve the highest authority there. And so my question for you this morning as we draw to a close is who or what is the highest authority in your life? Who gets the last word in your life? Who gets the final say? Is it God? Or is it someone or something else? Because He's the ultimate authority. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation and commitment. And as you look at your life, if you have to honestly say to yourself, you know what? God isn't the highest authority in my life. Then maybe this morning is a time to do some rearranging. Taking some things off of that pedestal and putting God back on that throne, the throne of your heart. As we sing this song, we're going to have our Stephen ministers in the back to pray with you. Terry and Lisa are up here at the cross to pray with them. I'll be back right here at these